Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money Your Life podcast, episode 199 of the podcast. Crazy, we're almost at 200 episodes, which we do once a week. So do the math on that. Before we get into the episode, make sure you like, subscribe, 5-star rate, and review the podcast wherever you're listening. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to do the same. Leave some comments. First and foremost, happy holidays wherever you're spending it. Be safe. We're going to get into a lot of stuff this week, but first and foremost, we're going to talk about the market and what is going on in the current market sentiment. So let's dive into it. The market actually just closed not too long ago. So we'll even look at today as well as the week. So today, last trading day for 2 days, since Thursday is a federal and bank holiday. Tomorrow, I should say, if you're listening to this, or the current day, if you're listening to this, as soon as we pop the episode out, which 90% of our listeners do, then you are now, it is not a trading day today. So this week for the market has been pretty decent, up over 1%. The month has been really strong, up over 8% on the month. And a lot of this is driven by people's expectations for what the Fed is going to do, a solid inflation reading as of the most recent reading. So there has been a rally in a lot of in stocks from the bear trough that we saw earlier, right? If you look at what we saw at the end of from July, pretty much from July to October, we've had a pretty strong recovery from the depths of late October. This month has been a pretty strong comeback in the market. NASDAQ is doing really well year to date. S&P doing strong year to date. Dow Jones is even in the positive year to date. So strong since the past month. And again, the Federal Reserve is saying that they're giving no indication that they're going to raise rates, no indication they're going to cut rates. But investors seem optimistic that the central bank will at least not raise rates in the December meeting. So treasury yields are falling and some companies are reporting strong earnings. One of them being NVIDIA, which reported its quarter earnings on Tuesday, and they posted really, really strong earnings and revenue that beat expectations, but they warned about their fourth quarter because of restrictions on China. But if you're looking at it, I mean, a lot of these, there's been a really, really strong resurgence, especially big tech and the major market cap companies since late October. That's just been the theme since late October. Again, on those reasons that we mentioned before. But that's the update on the market. Let's dive into current news of the week. Okay, the big news this week was a Sam Altman OpenAI journey. So Sam Altman was one of the co-founders and he was the CEO of OpenAI, which is artificial intelligence company, obviously, that has their big product being ChatGPT. You may have used ChatGPT. Earlier this week, they said that he was being fired or let go. He was fired on Friday. And it was the board and some board members that pretty much pushed him out. What I'm gathering is that OpenAI and was at first supposed to be a open, not-for-profit artificial intelligence AI company. As of recently, with investments from venture capital, Microsoft, big companies, big funds, they've turned into a for-profit model. And that seemed to be the contentious point between some of the old people and some of the new people, right? And Sam Altman's in there from the beginning, but he is a for-profit person versus some of the researchers and economists that they had on the board and in the upper level management in the beginning stages. So that seems to be the issue. So the board forced him out and there was a big mutiny from a lot of the employees that said, all right, if you're going to leave, force him out, we're going to leave too. Microsoft CEO said that they were going to bring on Sam Altman and bring on some of the employees that leave OpenAI to their company and start their own, even though they're one of the biggest investors in OpenAI, but they're going to bring it on board to Microsoft and do a parallel company that's focused on AI. But as of today, or, you know, if you're listening to this Thursday, as of a couple days ago, they have just now announced that Sam Altman, after being fired less than a week ago, is back on as the CEO, and he's back. He was fired, and now he's back. So Sam Altman has returned to OpenAI CEO, capping days of drama and negotiations. He was fired Friday. A major sticking point with Alman during the weekend discussions led to be the company's board, which OpenAI is now overhauling and will initially be led by a former Salesforce CEO, Bret Taylor. Alman will not join the board at present, but may do so later. So Microsoft CEO Nadelli said Wednesday that LinkedIn's parent company was encouraged by the changes to the OpenAI board. Obviously, that's Microsoft. More than 700 of OpenAI's 770 employees had signed a letter threatening to resign if Altman wasn't reinstated. So yeah, it was just a crazy day. The last valuation from when the company's invested is a $14 billion valuation for OpenAI. So a lot of people were just, you know, confused at why he was ousted and then brought back, because a lot of the employees were going to pretty much leave if he wasn't brought back. So that's the big, big story today. And now the big story is Altman also has beef with Elon Musk, because Elon Musk was one of the founders of OpenAI as well. And Elon Musk still wanted to be a nonprofit, just opening up the, letting it be a research-led company that was looking at what AI does and how it could be useful, what's the harmful purposes of it. But Altman and these other guys are just like, let's make money out this thing. and so they have beef that's still ongoing. There's a lot going on within this, and this is not the last you're going to hear of this story. But I figured you need to know the very, very, you know, most recent right now. But there's going to be a lot more coming, because this story is kind of a bombshell. Jobless claims. So the initial jobless claims dropped by the most in 5 months, because employers are seeking to retain workers ahead of the holidays. The initial filings for unemployment benefits, it's a proxy for layoffs, fell by 24,000 to 209,000 last week. The Labor Department said that even continuing claims declined for the first time in 2 months to 1.84 million. So this is what you see with seasonal hiring, part-time hiring, especially in retail, in leisure and activities, because of what we're going into the fourth quarter, which is a lot of consumerism purchasing in the fourth quarter. So you usually see this seasonal hiring by some of the biggest hiring companies, Amazon, Walmart, all the big retailers. They're going to do that because it's a seasonal period. But after that, you'll probably see unemployment begin to inch up again as you get to the end of Q4, Q1. But that's what you're seeing, of course, when it comes to seasonal hiring. You're always going to see that little seasonal hiring bump. And we talked about in the video a little bit, but let's dive deeper into their earnings and what happened. So NVIDIA's revenue skyrocketed 206% compared to last year. Remember, 206% compared to last year. NVIDIA said that the crux of its burgeoning artificial intelligence business was the major driver behind the numbers. So their AI chips are a really, really huge, big hit. Remember, it was a couple of years ago or a year ago when their CPU, their gaming chips were really, really popular and driving a lot of buying, because there was a lot of demand, but supply was hard because of what was going on with restrictions and supply chain and COVID. But now their AI artificial intelligence business is their biggest boomer. It's driving revenue crazy. So they pulled back a little bit on the news, but they're still at like near all-time highs. They also warned that their export restrictions are going to weigh on their business, especially when it comes to China. So AI is still a huge story, and it's driving a lot of hype in investor funds right now. And NVIDIA is one of those stocks that is leading the way when it comes to AI hype, like really, really leading the way. So we'll watch that. Diving into sports news, for those that watched the Monday Night Football game last Monday, Chiefs versus the Eagles, it was the most watched Monday Night Football game in 27 years. Football is doing well. Of all the major U.S. sports, football is really, really having strong, strong ratings. A lot of that is being driven by gambling. The handle for sports betting in 2023, I think it's both. They said it's going to hit, I don't want to get the number wrong. If this 1 billion for the year sounds crazy, it might be 1 billion for the month. But sports betting is crazy as far as the handle. I think that was a monthly number right now that we're seeing. So the NFL is really seeing things kind of go crazy right now. But they're actually seeing soaring costs and having fun. So the higher price phenomenon is the most glaring in sports. Sporting event admissions price has spiked 25% this October compared to a year earlier, the most of several hundred categories, and this is tracked by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. A lot of this could be the messy effects, but what they're pretty much saying is that to watch, to go to a sporting event, to go to an NBA game, NFL game, that price hike, that inflation is the biggest jump they're seeing of a lot of these sporting or live events or entertainment events, even when you have Taylor Swift and Beyonce tickets. But this overall funflation, this drive, live entertainment, live sports, this increase in the price of it is going to be something that happens more and more. It's going to become such a premium product that it's really going to be held for people with the big bucks in a sense. If you look at the F1, all these F1 race stuff, the price for a box or to be in some sort of VIP location was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that is going to continue, and you're not going to see that deflate much. You're only going to see that continue to increase going forward. Lots of lobster stories that we're going to jump into even more. I'm just double checking that we didn't miss anything. Interesting. Italy is banning lab-grown meat as futuristic food struggles to overcome its ick factor. That's quite interesting. Okay, so Zoom had their earnings, and they reported stronger than expected 3% revenue growth thanks to solid demand from corporate customers, and they're saying new AI features. That's one that is a tricky one. Zoom used to be such a popular company, and now it's having struggles. And a fact for everyone, the NFL QBs with major injuries this year, it's $1 billion worth of contracts. $1 billion worth of contracts for NFL QBs that have suffered a major injury so far this year. We lost Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Anthony Richardson. I'm missing some more. There's been a lot of them that have gone down due to injury, which is not... not something we want to see. Let's get into sports more in our question of the day. This is a question of the day. We're going to stay with the sports theme. Can you name one of the five most valuable NFL franchises? So this is the sports fan. NFL franchises, the sports fan. We obviously know it's Dallas Cowboys got to be one just because it's America's team, biggest franchise, most watched. Texas Cowboys fans are crazy. I think Patriots have done so well. I think the Patriots have to be up there. Then you got to think of a big markets. LA is a big market, but they just moved to Los Angeles. But I would say LA is going to be up there. San Francisco. Yeah. Oh, New York. I almost missed New York Giants. They're not a great team, but of course they're a huge market, so they have a great valuation. So answer, Dallas Cowboys, $9.2 billion. New York Giants, 7.04. Los Angeles Rams, 6.94. New England Patriots, 6.7 billion. And San Francisco, 6.15 billion. Wow, I actually literally hit everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Does that happen often? You got to know it's Thanksgiving, it's holiday times when I'm hitting every single question on the question of the week. And wait, we're not even done. We're going to do a roundtable, and we're just going to discuss plans for the holidays, budgeting, what people are going to be doing for the holidays. So holidays is an interesting time because it's family, presents, different things. We're getting into Thanksgiving, then we're going to have Christmas. It's always a more, I would say, expensive time when it comes to planning for your travel, planning for your gifts and things and spending time with family. You should certainly do that. And you should certainly budget those things out. It's super, super important to do so. Me and my fiance did that whole thing, all the trips and travels we have to do over the holidays and things we're going to do and presents we buy and all these different things. I think it's super important that you do that and stick with your goals. This is a time where we're celebrating and we're getting close to the end of the year. That's crazy. 2023 is almost done. So a good time to reflect on those goals, but stay within those budgetary confinements that you had for yourself, as well as plan and budget out the things that you're going to be doing in the month of December, which is the last month of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure have you join the Your Money Your Life podcast. Make sure you share, like, subscribe, and guess what? We'll see you next week.